19. Into the Mystic. The night security man at her hotel looks like a younger, slightly less approachable version of Beat Takeshi, the Japanese actor whose existential gangster films have been the favorites of two former boyfriends. Ferociously upright and tightly buttoned into an immaculate black blazer, he leads her into the elevator and up to her room. She's told them at the desk that she's left her key in the room, and so is accompanied there by this stern man, who produces his own key, a real metal one, sturdily chained to his belt, and unlocks her door. He opens it for her, turns on the light, and gestures her in. "Thank you. Just a moment, please, while I find my key." Actually, it's in the pocket of her Rixons, ready to be palmed when needed. But she checks the bathroom, the closet, glances behind the black furniture, then notices a large gray carrier bag with the Blue Ant logo on the side at the foot of her bed. She kneels to look under the bed, discovers that it isn't the kind you can look under, and comes up, still kneeling, with the key, a plastic magstrip card, in her hand. "I found it. Thank you very much." He bows and goes, closing the door behind him. She locks and chains it. Just to be sure, she manages to scoot the large black armchair close enough that the door can be only partially opened. This hurts her neck. She resists the urge to curl up there and become unconscious. Instead, she goes back to the bed and looks in the Blue Ant bag. It contains, carefully folded in black tissue, an unworn black Rixon's MA1. The morning seems a very long time ago. She becomes aware of the smell of Tiger Balm from her own Rixon's. She stuffs the new one back into its bag, removes the luggage label bag, and undresses. In the bathroom mirror, clinically illuminated, her forehead looks only lightly bruised. The remains of the fabulous fanny job, she thinks, have come to resemble the first attempts of a trainee mortician. She unwraps a bar of soap, reminds herself not to use the hotel's shampoo, which will have the wrong pH for gaijin hair, remembers to carefully copy Taki's number from her palm onto a Park Hyatt notepad, and shuts herself in the glass-walled shower, which is approximately the size of Boone's girlfriend's kitchen in Hong Kong. Feeling much cleaner, if no less exhausted, she wraps herself in a terry robe and checks the room service menu, deciding on a small pizza and a side of mashed potatoes. Non-Japanese comfort food. The pizza turns out to be very good, though very Japanese, but the potatoes are amazing, a Rixon's-like super simulacrum of a Western classic. She's also ordered two bottles of Bickle, opening her second as she finishes the potatoes. She needs to check her email. She needs to phone Pamela Mainwaring about getting out of here as soon as possible. And really, she should phone Parkaboy. She slugs back her Bickle and plugs her iBook into the room's data port. One email. As it pops up in her inbox, she sees that it's from Parkaboy. "Wondrous strange." She opens it. There is an attachment titled WS.JPG. "No rest for the wicked. After emailing us, or rather Keiko, from two separate cafes, as soon as Taki got home, he sent the attached." She clicks on the JPEG. A map. A broken T scribed with city streets and strings of numbers. It reminds her of a steak's T-bone, the upright tapering raggedly, the left cross-arm truncated. Within its outline are avenues, squares, circles, a long rectangle suggesting a park. The background is pale blue, the T-bone gray, the lines black, the numbers red. If Taki was in love before, he is now in lust, or maybe the other way around. But in his new frenzy of adoration and desire to please, he has sent this, which he explains to Keiko is the latest from Mystic. Daryl, who has otaku DNA himself, is convinced that Taki is not a member of this Mystic, but a peripheral character of some kind. Possibly since he designs games for a Japanese phone system, one of their sources of information. Daryl says that the highest level of play, for techno-obsessives, is always and purely about information itself, and he thinks that Mystic may have battened on the footage not in a footage headway, but simply for the sake of solving a puzzle that no one else has solved. He posits a cell of professional info theorists of some kind, who are also, in this ultimate otaku sense, info junkies, perhaps employed in the R&D arm of one or more large corporations. Perhaps they need something that Taki knows. It doesn't matter, really, since Taki seems somehow to have reversed the flow of data, and the psychosexual cruise missile that is Judy, tweaked, has found its mark. To save you the trouble of counting them, there are 135 numbers here, each number consisting of three groups of four digits. Her scalp prickles. She gets up, goes into the bathroom, returns with the notepad. 8304-6805-2235. She puts the pad beside her iBook and peers into the red cloud cover of numbers partially masking the T-City. There it is. The streets directly beneath it are small and twisted, down toward the bottom of the peninsula that forms the T's upright. Although, she reminds herself, she has no reason to believe this the representation of any island, actual or imaginary. It might be a T-shaped segment extracted from some larger map, though the streets, if they are streets, align with its borders. Remember the whiteout, when they kiss, as though something explodes overhead? If you've been following FFF, you'll know that that set off major blitz reverb in our British posters. Various proofs that our story is set in London in the 40s. None ultimately convincing. But that whiteout, blank screen. Taki says that Mystic decrypted this graphic from that whiteness. As to how blankness can yield image, I do not pretend to know, though I suppose that is the question, ultimately, that underlies the entire history of art. Nonetheless, where are we with this thing? If each segment is watermarked with one of these numbers, then the action in each segment seems to be mapped here, and we have, for the first time, a geography of sorts, and possibly, if we knew the numbers for each segment, a formal order. I've entered them all in a database and don't see that they are sequential. Suspect random generation and/or random assignment. Daryl is looking into a graphics bot that only searches maps. Meanwhile, exhausted, baffled, but unhealthily excited, I remain Parker Boy. She stares at the T-Bone City. She phones Pamela Mainwaring.